Hello?
Hello. I'm not sure what happened there.
Me either. We got music and that was it.
Yeah, and then I got a different kind of music, so I don't know what happened. Good afternoon, and welcome to today's edition of Your Book Garden, a copyrighted show presented by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm Tina Susetic, your host. Today, I'm happy to welcome Anne Seamus to my show. Did I pronounce that right?
That's right.
Okay. Anne and I have never met, but a few years ago, I won copies of her Grace Gabbiano Mysteries while at a Romantic Times convention. She had graciously donated them to the breakfast honoring our military. It had taken me a few years to get to them and read them, but once I did, I fell in love with her character, Grace Gabbiano, and decided I needed to have her on my show to talk about that series and her other books. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Anne?
Well, I live in Oregon. I'm originally from Colorado, so that particular state has a place in my heart always. I have 22 books in print and one novella that's out of print, which was my first book. I'm an independent author, and I write all day long, every day.
And I also read that you are a three-time RWA Golden Heart finalist.
Right. Three of my books, Blessed Are the Eagles, that I was really a new member of RWA, didn't know anything about it. They were advertising the Golden Heart contest, so I entered a book and was a finalist first time out, so took myself down to San Francisco and hoped for the best, but still remained a finalist when I left. So that was an experience. And then I have two other books, First Star and Chloe's Spirit, that were finalists too. First Star and Chloe's Spirit.
And for any of our listeners who don't understand what RWA means, that's Romance Writers of America,
Romance,
which is a big organization.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Golden Heart finalist is for unpublished.
Unpublished writers, exactly.
Yeah. So to be a finalist is a pretty big deal, and three times is a really big deal.
Yeah, it is, and two of those were in 1 year, so I was pretty jazzed, and yeah, it was kind of nerve-wracking. And they pick five out of each category, and they receive hundreds and hundreds of submissions. So it is a pretty big deal, and I'm pretty proud of it.
You should be. That is a big deal. Have you ever entered the RITA or?
No, I've never entered the RITA, but I've considered it. Okay. I'm not an RWA member anymore, but you can still enter if you're not. So that's not a hurdle or anything. But the other three books are currently in print, and one of these days I may enter the RITA too. We'll see.
And the RITA is like the Emmys in the romance world.
Right,
so.
For published authors.
Yeah, for
and
published
they,
authors.
They had
yeah,
some, so authors, some authors win it so many times that they had to put restrictions on how many times they could win, so other people have a chance.
Oh.
So I guess that's one good thing.
Yeah.
And I also served on the RWA. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say I served on the RWA board for 2 years. I was a regional director, and I was in charge of doing the outreach newsletter, and outreach was the international portion of RWA where people around the world joined in. Our communication tool was the newsletter that I edited, and I had to do that every month for 2 years, and that was a 20-page newsletter, and it was just chock full of information and publishing news and author news and tips for writing and things like that, and it was a lot of fun because I like doing newsletters.
That was a lot of work. Every month, 20 pages, that's a lot of work. Wow. What do you like to do besides right, because you said you write all day, every day, but you
I like to do counted cross. I'm a needle worker, so I like to do counted cross stitch. I haven't done embroidery for a while, but counted cross stitch is, of course, where you get a chart and you have fabric and there's nothing on the fabric and you read the chart and put everything on, you stitch on that. I like to garden too, but I have spring allergies right now, so I don't go out in the garden very much. And I like to play with my grandson, and my husband and I do a lot of things together, and, you know, I've been to Italy a couple of times and have done genealogy research from the little town my grandparents were from, and got to visit Switzerland and went to Normandy. So, you know, there are a lot of things that, that I do, but I really like writing, and so I'm not unhappy when I'm at the laptop writing away.
Yeah, that's when you mentioned Italy, is that because Grace Gabbiano, I mean, Gabbiano sounds very Italian. Is that where you got the name from, your Italian roots, or?
No, my family, well, I do use the name Santarelli in my Grace Gabbiano books, and that's a family name for me. Gabbiano, I just kind of looked at a lot of Italian surnames, and that one kind of rang a bell with me. And so I decided to use it, and her name, her full name is actually Grazia Gabbiano, but her, everybody calls her Grace because Grazia translates to grace in English. So, she's a lot of fun, and I decided that I was going to do an Italian character because I wanted to bring my Italian heritage into the stories. And I do that quite a lot. And as you know, since you've read the books, they introduce food, Italian food, customs, superstitions, quirky little things, you know. And especially like Grace's mother is hell-bent on having Grace hooked up with the police chief. And that's always good for a few laughs in every book because Angelina just doesn't give up. So.
And that, I think that's, I don't want to say typical of Italian mothers, but, you know, they kind of have that little, people have that idea that that's what, you know, that's what they're like.
And I don't know how they are in Italy today, but I know that the men often stay home until their 30s and 40s before they get married, but the women do not. So that's a...
Wow.
And, you know, you learn a lot of things when you go to Italy. For instance, I never knew that the women never take the husband's last name. So, but when they came to this country, they were forced to do that when they landed at Ellis Island. So, and, you know, just interesting little things like that. Like they typically, you know, a lot of children were lost back in the old days due to health issues. And if they had another child right after that and it was the same gender, they named that child the same name, which I find a little creepy, but I think that sometimes they still do that today.
Did I just was maybe it was because I read your Grace Gabbiano mysteries. There's three of them, and your fourth one is coming out. And then I read your Christmas ones. Was there something about that in the Christmas ones? Or I just read that somewhere where they named, just what you were just talking about, that they, you know, they named the next child after the one that had passed away. I can't remember where that was.
I don't think I've ever mentioned that in a book, but I think it's pretty common, especially in the countries that speak Romance languages. You know, like it's typical for the oldest son to be named after the grandfather and the second son is named after the father.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember it because I read so many books. But let's get back to the Grace Gabbiano. There are three of them. There's your first one was Dressed to Die, Buried to Die, Sliced to Die, and then your fourth one, which is coming out July 19th, if I'm right.
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 It's called
Quilted to Die.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to
tell
us a little bit about? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the Grace Gabbiano books are set in Coburg, Oregon, which is a little town about 8 miles up the road from where I live. When I started writing the books, there were only about 1,000 people there, and now they have 1,200, so they're growing. But it's a really nice little community. It has a lot of antique stores and some cute little shops and a great nursery. But, you know, everybody knows everybody else, and everybody knows everybody's business. And I thought, what a perfect place to set my books. I also knew the police chief at the time up there. I'd met him from a criminal investigation class I took at the community college. And I had known him a wee bit at the county when he was a detective over there. But we got to talking, and he gave me a lot of pointers about small-town life and why Coburg, you know, would make a good setting because they're sort of on the freeway, so they get a lot of drop-off crime, too. And So anyway, it just, you know, I try to incorporate some of the local events like Quilted to Die. There's a quilt show up there every year. And I'm actually going to be launching Quilted to Die at the quilt show this year. And that's why July 19th, my release day. So I made sure I have my books in time. And then the show is on the 20th and 21st of July in Coburg. So I'm kind of excited about that because I love the tie.
Yeah.
One of my murders kind of takes place at the quilt show. So hopefully the quilters won't be offended by that and find the humor in it. But and then,
well, that's what a good tie-in. That's
yeah,
cool.
I hope it's going to be a good tie-in. They're also doing it in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the Coburg Golden Years Festival this year. So the quilt show moved inside, but my book takes place outside because when I started writing it, I had no idea it was going to be an indoor show this year. So we have to go with the flow on some things.
Yeah.
And then Buried to Die. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, Buried to Die, there's a body farm in there. And years ago, I had read about a body farm that the University of Oregon had set up in Coburg. And I just kind of kept that in the back of my mind and decided that one day I'd use that in a book. And then when I started writing the Grace books, I thought, okay, that'll be a good book for that series. So I have a body farm, and lots of shenanigans go on in association with that body farm. And I tried not to name the University of Oregon exclusively because I don't want anybody coming back on me, but it's simply referred to as the university in the book. We have several of them here, so it's ambiguous.
So there really was a body farm then?
Yes, and I don't know if there still is, but... And, you know, people have asked me that, is there really a body farm there? And I said, well, I don't know if it still exists up there, but it does in my book, so.
Okay.
And,
yeah, because that was an interesting, like, how did she come up with this one?
Yeah.
Oh. And then
Slice to Die. I was interested in kidney theft from people. So I did a little bit of research on that and decided I would use it. And it's not anything that I knew was happening in Coburg. But after I wrote Buried to Die, one of my readers emailed me who knew the area and said, pretty soon there won't be any people left in Coburg. And I said, well, don't worry about it, because next time the people who die are not going to be from Coburg. So save the population.
Well, and if they're off the freeway, you know, you've got those, you know, what did you call it? Off-road crimes, or what? How did you refer to it?
Drop-off
crime.
Yeah, they do the crime and then they take off. So, and you know, Coburg has had a lot of things happening because they used to have a huge motorhome manufacturers up there. And one of them is out of business completely, and the other one is doing limited production. So that really affects the population there. And during the day, it used to swell to over 2,000 people with workers going into Coburg and then leaving at night to go home. So, but they're, you know, they've got a lot of development going on, lots of possibilities for future stories. Next year, the book will be called Taken to Die, and I'll leave that to your imagination because I'm not giving anything away yet on that one. But you can think outer space if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is that? Area 59 or something?
Yeah, I just read about that. It's pretty interesting. But I do a little teaser in Quilted to Die about the next book. So it involves crop circles.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Like I said, I love the other ones, and I've given them to, when I have my writers group, we'll bring in books that we've read, and then people just, you know, take them, because they're kind of considered cozy mysteries. They're not really romances, but I don't even know if you'd call them cozy mysteries, but everybody that's read them has just loved them.
Well, good. Well, I think they're considered more of a police procedural, which still doesn't quite describe them because of the family involvement. But, and I would say that, you know, everybody keeps, I keep getting all these inquiries. When are you going to put Grace and Aiden together? And I said, not for a long time. But I think each time a book comes out, their relationship changes and deepens a little bit. And especially this book, you'll notice that quite a bit. But Grace has a policy. She does not date coworkers. That's what got her in trouble in Seattle. And she's not going to do it
right,
again.
Yeah.
She sticks to it. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely, when we get off the air, I will be going on and pre-ordering my book, because it is up for pre-order, Quilted to Die, on Amazon. So just
right.
go on Amazon and, you know, type in, you know, Anne Simas, I'm going to say it wrong.
Simas,
S-I-M-A-S, and you can pre-order the book. Actually, I definitely, in fact, book number one, the first one, Dressed to Die, I'm not sure who has. Because the other two, I'm like, I want them back, so I have them here for the radio show. And I'm like, somebody's got the first one, and I'm not sure who it is. So I'm going to have to find out who.
If anybody's listening in Canada or UK or anywhere, it's also on pre-order there. And the links are, yeah. If they just go to their, you know, .ca or .uk, they can find it.
Okay. That's good to know. But
speaking
now
of romance, Tina.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, speaking of romance, the Christmas romance.
Yeah, you must have been reading my mind, because I was just going to bring those up. So, how many books are in this series? Are there five?
There's five right now, and there'll be three more in November.
Okay,
so
do you want to tell us about those? Because they were fun.
Yeah, I just had a wild hair that I wanted to write a Christmas book. I wanted to make it shorter than what I normally write, because the dress books are, you know, like 450 pages. They're really quite involved, or the Grace Gabbiano books are longer, more involved. But the Christmas stories, I want them to be shorter, so they're more like 220 pages. Santa's Helper is the first one. And then comes Candy Cane Lane, and then Let It Snow. And then last year I released Fruity Cakes and Sleigh Bride. And then this year I'll have out Angels on the Rooftop, Gingerbread Junction, and Backdoor Santa. And they all take place in Christmas Valley, and it's not Christmas Valley in a specific location. It's Christmas Valley anywhere. And I never name, you know, like a state or anything, but all the people get married at the Christmas Valley Inn. I stick primarily just to romance. They're a little bit steamy, but they're fun. They often have kids. They often have dogs. And I want to make people laugh when they're reading them. So, you know, I want to make sure that the characters interact with each other really well, and sometimes in a sassy way, sometimes in a funny way, sometimes in a sexy way. So, but I do try to have that thread going through all the books, so that you know that it's all in the same location. And they're just fun to write, and I hope they're fun to read.
Well, they are fun to read, and what I thought was interesting is you did a little different twist on the couples, whereas the what we consider the woman is the, you know, usually it's the women who fall in love, the men who don't want to, you know, get married, and you switched it around, which I thought was interesting.
And I don't know if I actually intended to do that, or if I just thought this will work better for what I'm doing, but seriously, every one of the books is like that, and I kind of like it.
Yep.
That the guys being the pursuer for a change. And,
You
know, because it's a wake-up call for them.
Yeah, they're just kind of shocked that, wow, this is happening to me, and how can this be happening to me? And they as I'm reading them, and I did not read them in order because I had them on my Kindle, and I think they can be read as a standalone, but I also think that they can be read in order. You know, just to keep track of the characters and what's going on. Because I think I actually read them for some reason backwards. I'm not sure how that happened, but
It is true that they can be read alone, and I, you know, there are little references that I make so that you know, you can kind of guess which book the other one was introduced in. So
And then you're having an event, and besides your book release, Quilted to Die, in July, you also have an event in conjunction with your Christmas books. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I decided that Christmas in July is not just for Hallmark, so I'm going to be doing a Christmas in July, and I'll be posting it, an event on my Facebook, in conjunction with my Facebook page, and I don't have the date set yet, but if people are interested in participating in that, if they go to Ann Seamus Author on Facebook, I'll be posting on there, and then they can find the page from that post and come and participate. And I'm going to be giving away books, Christmas books, so. And I'll probably have some contests. I like to do those.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to get Christmas, you know, Christmas books. It was interesting to be reading these Christmas books because we were going through a real hot spell here in Wisconsin when I was reading them. It was like, okay, is this going to cool me off any, you know?
Well, the weather outside in the books might cool you off, but hopefully the romantic interest will not.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. They're kind of steamy. They're pretty steamy. So,
but I do not write erotica, so I want to make that clear.
You what? I'm sorry.
I said I don't write erotica, though, so I want to make that clear.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's not erotica. It's steamy is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
They're steamy, you know, and the couples have a relationship. It isn't just, you know, let's throw them in the sack for throwing them in the sack's sake, you know.
Right.
So there's a relationship involved, which to me makes those scenes much better, you know. And then, I mean, you write the Gray Scabbiano, the mysteries, and then you write the romantic Christmas stories, but then you also write, I just finished reading two of them. Actually, the one I'm almost done. I was trying to get it finished at the end just because I wanted to, before the show, to see what happened. I'm currently reading Heaven Sent, which is paranormal, with religious elements.
It's kind of supernatural more than paranormal because it does involve a near-death experience where my character dies twice, actually, and she gets instructions from heaven that she's supposed to go save a little girl from the dark place. And that's what the story revolves around. And I think it's a story. My mom had a near-death experience, and so that has kind of always been a topic close to my heart, and I always wanted to write a book about it, but I couldn't quite figure out what I was going to do. And then I read a book about dark near-death experiences that happen primarily to children, and I thought, well, that I can use in a book. So this little girl, you know, her mother wants her, that her mother who tried to kill her tries to take her to hell, basically. And so my character has to figure out a way to keep that from happening. And quite a bit of research went into that book in terms of how I was going to make sure that she could die and, you know, hopefully maybe come back from rescuing the child. So it is pretty intense book, but
yeah, I would like, there were times where I just, you know, I got chills. I got a little scared. I generally don't read scary books, and I don't want to say it's a scary book, but intense is a good way to, that's a good word to describe it. And, you know, as I'm reading, I'm going, okay, either you had a near-death experience or somebody you know, because I had one as a child. And so as you're describing this, it's like, this is what, you know, a lot of it, this is what I remember. And, you know, it was, like I said, I was so close to finishing it. And, you know, is she gonna survive? As, you know, don't tell me what happens. I'm not to that point yet. So, but yeah, it was just, a very, very good book, but it's so different from your Grace Gabbiano and your romances. It was like, yeah.
And Black Moon Rising, I think, is another book that's pretty different from the romance that you know I wrote earlier, like with Blessed Are the Eagles or First Star, or even Loose Ends. But and then I have another mystery series that's the Andy Comstock Supernatural Mysteries, and those are about a woman who started a job and starts hearing voices, and it takes her a bit to figure it out that the voices are coming from when they're cremated at the crematorium on the other corner. When they pass through the afterlife, they're talking to her, and once in a while, one of them wants her to help them figure out who killed them or to stop a murder. So, and that actually came from an experience I had at my last job, and that was one of those ideas that kept percolating in my head until I finally figured out, you know, I could smell smoke. Why was I smelling smoke? How did it get there? And one day it just hit me, and Andy Comstock came to life. So,
wow, I'm going to have to get those too. that sounds really interesting. You know, it's you know, I'm an author, and you know, ideas come, but I'm always amazed to hear how other authors, you know, come up with their ideas. It's like, you know, they pop into their head, or it's something that's just been kind of brewing there, and all of a sudden the characters just say, "Okay, write me." kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, well, see, Grace Gabbiano would have never been around if I hadn't gotten one too many rejection letters that said, too much mystery, not enough romance. And one day I said, light bulb goes off overhead, write a romance instead of a mystery. So, because I tend to put mysteries in my romances. And then, you know, that also escalated to the point where I did not go traditional publishing with my next book. I went indie, so...
Okay. Yeah, I have a hard time writing a romance without mystery too. So I know what that, you know, what that's like. If I'm writing something, you know, mystery, and it's like, why isn't this going somewhere? It's like, oh, there's no mystery to it. You know.
Yeah.
Find something to throw in there. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you have to write what you like to read, because otherwise, it's not, you're not going to get your full potential out of the book.
Yeah, exactly. Are you do you plot your books? Like, you know, you've got these series, and you know, you said there's a number 5 in the Grace Gabbiano. Have you, you know, do you plot, or are you a pantser or a mixture? How do you?
I used to be a plotter because every class I ever went to, a writing workshop or anything, got a plot, got to write a 10-page synopsis, got to write a 1-page synopsis, got to do character sketches. I mean, I was going crazy, and I would go nowhere, and I'd stop, and I, you know, I seriously didn't write for like 10 or 12 years. And then one day I just sat down and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to sit down and write. And that's so, I didn't even know it had a name like pantser until like 2 years ago. But it, for me, it works, and that's what I have to do. If it works for me, then you know, I keep a little sheet going on when I'm working in my manuscript, and I list all the characters, and I give my characters a brief description, like I know their hair color, their eye color, how tall they are, and that's about it, you know. And I feel like it's up to the character to let their imagination go with, you know, the reader can figure out what this character looks like in their own mind's eye. When you get a character on your book, then that's fixed forever, and they can't get that out of their head. So,
and especially if the cover doesn't match the person. I just got a message that we just have like maybe 30 seconds left. So I want to thank you so much, Anne, for joining me today. And
thank you for asking me, Tina.
Okay, this was fun, and I look forward to your next books. And thank you for joining me on your book garden. And join me on July 10th when I'll have Randy Weir with me talking about his Jarvis Mann detective series. Until then, read on, my lovelies.
Bye.
Bye.